In a flag salute, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This is a public meeting of the mayor and council, Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building, in fact, to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger. Could I have a roll call, please?
Sure. Councilwoman Switlick?
Here.
Councilman Kuchinowski?
Here.
Councilman Malay?
Here.
Council President McKiernan?
Present.
Mayor Higgins?
Here.
We have four.
All right. First item on the agenda is public comment. Are there people from the public here to comment? I think.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor.
Good evening.
And Councilman.
Good evening.
Ken Donatelli, 15 Concord Road. First, I just want to thank the mayor for his email of September 21st, and also thank Councilwoman Switlick for her email following the September 12th. I'd like to just clarify a couple of things for myself. Mr. Mayor, you had indicated you were going to have a meeting with, I believe, Mr. Sylvia, Mr. Wright.
No. Maybe we can answer some questions and make it quicker. The discussion was with Mr. Landon, who's really in charge of the township.
Okay.
And Mr. Landon has some news to report, so I would suggest that we get the news out, and then you may have fewer or different questions.
That's fine.
Yeah, Mr. The owner was in court today with Mr. Wright for the construction code violations. He was fined, I think, $500. He was ordered to put up a 6-foot chain link fence around the house and the property and to put plywood on all the openings in the first floor for the code violations. Mr. Sylvia has a date with him in court, the first court of November, for the grass and the other violations, where he will also be violated and ordered to clean.
You said there was a fine? What, a fine?
$500 fine.
Now, is that, that's not daily?
That's first time out of the box. We'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just interject quick. Did you say the owner was actually present?
Yes, he was.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
Yep. We didn't think he was going to be. He was here, and he was told you have to do this. You know, it's been going on too long. Yeah. Mr. Wright said, you know, it's a hazard. By the way, the county health department said there are no rats. They did check for rat infestation. There are none, or no health violations either.
And no mold? No mold?
Well, mold is part of the whole building thing, but that if you stay out, it's not going to hurt you. So, like I said, the zoning officer's got the date in a couple weeks, and that'll be another fine in order to clean the property, clean up the junk, and mow the grass. I think his intention, talking to Mr. Wright, is to tear it down and try again, but he's broke.
He's what?
Broke. So, here we are.
He's going to fence in
the property for safety, and he's got to board up all the first floor openings.
He'll put a fence around the house to keep people out, because it is a hazard at this point in time.
And he's got
to
seal it. Nobody should be in there anyway, but he's got to seal it.
And this, by the way, is the first time we've asked the county health department many times to come out about calling it a housekeeping problem, is diminishing it too much. But we've asked them to come out more than a few times. This is the first time we've been successful. Jesse's been successful in getting them out here. So that was a good thing.
So no health issues, like with mosquitoes?
They look for rats.
Is that all they look for? I'm sorry?
Pretty much, yeah.
They don't look for anything else?
Not in this kind of situation, no.
Well, we've seen them.
They didn't.
So they will fence the property off.
But they were there. We knew that.
Right.
And this is to be completed by when?
I was told it was immediately, this first part. Now, part two, he doesn't go to court again until November. So that'll be another... you know, a couple weeks, he's going to have to mow it and clean up the tires and whatnot.
Yeah, so I think
it's moving ahead slowly, but it's moving in the right direction.
Maybe 7 to 10 days would be reasonable?
He's supposed to be next week. He's supposed to start.
Okay.
Well, I know in your email you had mentioned 7 to 10 days for one of the either summons or violations that was issued. And if they didn't take action, they would then, I think, be issued the summons to appear in court.
Right.
For that particular, right. For that particular one.
Right.
So it sounds like that's the first.
The second one, we give them 30 days. That's the zoning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that hasn't occurred yet. So that'll be the first, I think it's the first court session in November.
And that's the new ordinance that
we just
passed that we had to wait to take effect. And
you have to give them a chance to respond.
Right. At the end of that process, say the 30 days, just, I don't know if it's part of your action plan, but then at what point would the council determine that they have to get involved and take action themselves to demolish the building?
Oh, we haven't explored demolition. We'd haul them back.
That's a long way down the road. Yeah. That action would take a long time and a lot of court activity. But he'll be in court again next month for part two. We'll see how it goes.
Do you have a date for
that? No, I don't know which day it is. Court's every Wednesday.
So it's probably the first Wednesday.
I think it's the first one.
Yeah.
Because the ordinance, you have 30 days, they send the violation. And so I'm sure he'll be there.
Municipal court here?
Yes.
Or
mm-hmm.
Right here in this room.
Oh,
right.
The judge sits here.
So no, this is part of your action plan, correct?
This is part of how we pursue these things.
Is that Concord Realty still?
The owner was in court, not the real estate people. Hmm? The owner was there today, not the real estate people.
The LLC.
I think he has an LLC.
He has an LLC.
Yeah, the members
or maybe
of the
he's
LLC.
It. I don't know, but he was here.
I think that's the case, yeah.
Yeah, because the last time I looked, I mean, his LLC wasn't up to date. I mean, whatever the proper fees are, registration fees for the state of New Jersey, that was not completed, and apparently, I believe his taxes, is he's still delinquent in taxes.
A bit, but just tax sales, most of those folks pay up at the very end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not a lot of money that he owes. He's not
signed up. It's been since April of last year since he's paid.
Yeah, but there's a statutory process for that. You know?
No, I understand that, but you also indicated that he has no money, so if he has no money to take care of the problem.
We'll play that hand when it's dealt.
There's broke and there's bankrupt.
Yeah.
Broke means maybe I don't want to pay. Yeah, maybe.
No, I understand that. I'm trying to digest everything that you're saying.
One of the violations.
Now, you have other codes. Chapter 75, Chapter 82, Chapter 155, your building codes. Since he's doing construction, that's considered construction, how come these codes aren't being looked at?
I don't know what you're referring to. But he, by law, he has a permit to do something, as long as he makes progress.
What progress?
Put a new door.
He has done that.
Tear out a window.
Has done that.
He's done something.
He did some foundation work.
He has been doing piecemeal work.
I understand that. Right. So you're saying that he could do something every 6 months, and you're going
correct.
To consider that?
It's the law.
I'm just trying to understand the law. I haven't reached out to any.
I've seen these situations go for years.
And that's why I said in the last meeting that maybe we should start doing a little bit more while he's trying to get himself together, that we also say, hey, listen, you do a little bit more in a sense of taking legal action to try and quickly handle it. Because if we wait, we've already waited 4 years. If you're saying that we can wait another 2 years, another 3 years, and the proceedings haven't even started, I'm talking about your work to try and either demolish the property or take ownership of the property.
We have no intention to take ownership of the property.
Not going to happen.
No, I'm just saying.
The demolition process is very, very long and very difficult. So we're doing the kinds of things that would encourage a normal person or maybe even a slightly abnormal person to get themselves moving. The next step is for him probably to demolish the structure. Mm-hmm. He should have just continued when he took the chimney off of the place.
I think you said that you forced him to take the two wings down, the town did, and you took those two down. I think in the last meeting, somebody said it. Okay.
I thought we had worked with him and he had agreed and he had begun to take down.
The chimney had separated.
The demolition part.
The demolition permit.
The chimney.
That was recently?
We didn't.
Well, I don't know when it was, but there was a demolition permit issued to him to take, per your conversation, the last council meeting we attended, the town gave him a demolition permit to, I guess, demolish the two wings of the house that were there. And then after that, he put in the foundation and footings.
Right.
Well, he did demolish
something. He obtained some permits.
Right.
What those permits were, I couldn't tell you. I personally, a while ago, asked our building inspector to go out there. Since the top of the chimney was standing away from the top of the house by about 6 or 8 inches, it was time to knock the chimney down. So I asked our building inspector a while ago, a year, to go out there, take a look at it, and force the demolition as a safety hazard. That's the only demolition I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So he may have pulled a demolition permit as well as a building permit, but we didn't, we certainly didn't ask for it.
How long can a permit remain open? And if, for a demolition permit, obviously, they're under no obligation to actually do demolition.
It can go for a long time. Yeah. A long time.
Has the council asked them to maybe take that structure down?
I think
during your conversation.
I think you asked him to do that during the court proceedings.
And then in his response, he has no money, and he's trying to get things together and fix it up. We'll see what happens when the zoning official goes to court with him.
Yeah. So it sounds like he has not sufficient funds
to do anything.
The demolition
Correct.
Of the entire structure.
So we'll see.
So I just wanted to ask, the $500 fine, what violation was that for? What code violation, what ordinance violation?
I don't know. It was a code violation. I don't know which one. Instruction code.
Has he paid this violation yet, or will he?
Well, he'll have to come in. He might have paid today. I don't know. He might, but he'll be in to pay. Otherwise, he gets back in front of the judge. That would be much worse.
Oh, I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah, and that fine was just issued today. Was
today.
Just assessed by the court today, yeah.
So November, he's back in court?
But in the interim time, period of time, he should board up.
He's supposed to do another
and erect right. the fence.
Yeah. And that is supposed to be completed by when?
I think immediately. I think it was supposed to happen like next week.
Next week? Okay. No, that's all right.
Yeah, like 7 to 10 days would be, you know, a reasonable grace period. If it doesn't happen, then we go after him again.
And the grass doesn't have to happen until when?
That's the November court date.
That's the grass?
Yeah. Okay, that's November. Okay.
And you said the lower level is going to be sealed?
Sealed.
Does that include the portion of the
plywood all around, so the first floor is, you know,
the entire first floor?
Any penetrations, doors, and windows?
There's a lot of penetrations, as we all know.
Also, where the wall is where the walls are missing.
Seal the first
floor. Which is like going on to the foundations.
Right.
It'd almost be cheaper to knock it down.
Yeah, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe he'll make that decision.
Track machine. And we'll look at darn sight better flattened. So we'll continue our efforts to urge him along.
Okay, appreciate that.
It's going to take a little bit of time, but you all have our attention, and he does as well. So we'll keep at it.
Nope.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Keep coming back until you're happy.
We'll be back.
Well, we hope not too often. You know,
we'll be back.
Get some results.
Until it's resolved.
Is there anyone else from the public that has a comment? All right. Well, thank you. And next item would be reports. Mr. Kochanowski.
I have nothing to report other than we're meeting the budget on the 31st, which is Halloween.
Is that all good news? I don't want anything frightening. The only report I have is the sewer authority met last week, and aside from some normal business, they did have an appearance from Day Pitney, the law firm that is representing the affordable housing development on Beaver Avenue, and the developer requested and received a reduced sewer connection fee. So it does sound like that project is getting closer and closer to fruition. Other than that, there was really not much else going on that night.
Okay.
Historic, there wasn't a quorum, but the next time we meet, or what we were planning on doing when we met, is cleaning out the files that are disgrace theirs. So we'll be doing that hopefully in November if everybody can come. North Hunterdon, running of the Lions, you guys got your T-shirts. The EMT finalized the flag. They're nice enough to do that. They'll be sending them both donations. I mailed in our sponsorship, so.
Good.
And I guess the meeting time, I thought it was 9:30. She told me today at 8:30.
8:30?
Okay. Sorry about that. So bring coffee. So I can do with that. But if you guys have any questions about it, you know, just let me know. I'll talk to Mary. Mr. Cottrell had I think he's a junior, his name's Edison, who was interested in doing him an Eagle Scout project. And I'm very excited because I've been looking for one of these guys. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to do something on the trail property. He wanted to do, like, mile markers, and obviously Les did all that. He's still working on that. So I was hoping he could do some trailblazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to get an idea of his process, how they even do this type of project, and what we have to do for him and what he wants. And then I can sit down with his leader and Jesse, and then I can take it from there. But I'm excited to work with him. And I guess you know that Les has been doing the benches and the markers out on the trail property as well. Really nice. I took a jog over there a couple weeks ago, and he did a really nice job. And the kiosk looks nice. But the benches throughout the park, it's really nice. And it looks like the driveway's done. I saw a taxpayer
almost
park on it, so hoping it was done. But that's pretty much it.
Okay. Not too much here. We had a planning board meeting on October 1st, and T-Mobile was in for an extension of time, which was good because they finally started construction on the what's going to be a very large tree-type cell tower at the juncture of Route 22 and Petticoat Lane. So looks to me like they've got the foundation in, and they should start to go vertical pretty
soon.
They
did go tree type.
I like the tree type.
I
do.
Bottle washer.
Well, you know, it's a 140-foot tower, so it's going to be an awful big tree.
Big toilet
and
brush.
It's going to be bright green. So the jury's out.
If I had to pick, I mean, they're all attractive. You can make a tree out of it, I guess.
You drive by them and you look at them and go, hey, I wonder who they're trying to fool.
Well,
fool from afar, not so much.
It doesn't work.
Don't some of them put, like, flags on them? Like,
yeah.
Flagpole?
I've seen that. And there's one that's one. There are ones that look like silos as well. That's an awfully tall silo, too.
Well, yeah, this one will have, I remember, four levels, you know, because you're going to put up one tower. The flagpole works for one provider, but our code requires, I think it's at least three with a maximum of four. So maybe AT&T will provide decent service.
Like pull one in Reddington Township on 22.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I saw
it. White House, New White House.
So over the next few weeks, that ought to come out of the woodwork, so to speak. Did a capital review on some small changes, actually, for the visitors' bleachers at North Hunterdon. Just some different fencing and guardrail replacement, that kind of stuff. Otherwise, it was a pretty quiet night. So that's all I had.
Not much going on with the school boards. Other than last week, the PTA did host a Meet the Candidates night, and they had five candidates going for the three-year position, two candidates going for the one-year position.
Did the candidates outnumber the public?
It depends on how you look at that. If you take Tom and I out of the equation, you end up with 21 people in the room. And I would say at least half of the people in the room were teachers who may or may not be residents of Clinton Township. So I'm going to say there are roughly 10 voters that were there. Of the 10 voters that were there, at least 8 of them are direct supporters or family members of the candidates that were up there. So I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek more because of the disappointment in how few people showed up for what could be a very valuable event, which is to meet, greet, learn something about the candidates that were there. They did have some interesting things to say. There were two candidates, I just personal opinion, I thought had some grasp about what's going on with the school board. and can address some of the issues that were there. Whether you agree with them or not is a different story. Both of those candidates are on the board now. The other members that were there demonstrated to me as a lack of understanding of the Board of Education, something you can learn by becoming a member, but not really understanding the issues. Example being the need to increase everyone's salaries, and citing that many of the, and it's true, younger teachers are paid at a very low rate, and the same person's then stating, I want to keep taxes down, kind of an oxymoron. The other is not recognizing Chapter 78, and a couple of people pushing very hard that they would be working to get personal development days for the teachers, something the Board of Education has been fighting to do for 6 years. So it's one of those, you look at the candidates and go, do you understand the issues, and will we get resolution? But everyone has to draw their own opinion on that. Commend the PTA, though, for putting together the event. Mary Melfi did her darndest to try and get candidates to be specific. There's always a lack of specificity. Of course, that's politics, I guess. The more you leave up in the air and for people's imaginations, the better off you can be. So it was a good event. There's another one coming up, I think, on the 21st, which is not a debate. It's more of a meet and greet, and you can have a cup of coffee and talk to the folks. It's right before the Board of Education meeting, so they're going to have the candidates available from 6:30 to 7:30, and the Board of Education meeting starts at 7. Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Is that a mistake?
Some of them can attend, and some of them can only attend.
Yeah, you can stay and talk to the candidates when the Board of Ed meeting starts, or you can go attend the Board of Ed meeting.
Dan, how many spots are open for the three-year term? Two?
Well, there's three spots that are open.
No, I know, but one is a one-year term.
Yeah, right. And then there are three years.
Oh, there's three-year.
Three-year terms.
Gotcha.
And the one, there's two candidates for the one-year term. That's a completion of a person who unexpectedly resigned.
I think there are nine members in total.
And they nine members in total. And every year, three of those members come up for re-election. Mm-hmm. And the president is voted on by the members each January at the reorg meeting, so you can have a different president each year. That's all I've got.
Okay. Well, we've been busy. The parking lot for the fitness trail is about done. Not quite, but it's almost done. We've got all the parts, the signs, three-hour limit, split rail fence. That'll be in for the race. Then they'll start on Prostack's parking lot. Will be a mirror image of this.
Looks good.
And like I said, we've got all everything ready to go. It's just a matter of weather. You know, that ground over there, if it's wet, it's quicksand. I mean, you can't move. So every time it rains, we get a day of delay. But that's happening. After that, pretty much DPW is going to be cleaning storm drains, patching holes, and preparing for sweeping leaves and preparing for winter time. I mean, the special projects are about done. But they've got a lot done this year. We'll be working on, once it gets colder and the snakes go to sleep, on the Russian olives at a couple of our parks that are overtaking. But, you know, that's winter work. I mean, the guys get out there and not get eaten by mosquitoes and whatnot. Paving at Bump Park started. They're crack filling today and tomorrow, and then they'll start paving. So that should be done next week, again, with weather permitting. And then they will go to Annandale Hose, Annandale Station number one. So that's good.
Are we paving it, Bunt, or are we...
Overlays. It will crack sealing and overlay. Not a chip seal. It's not quite a free...
Not milling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not milling.
All right.
Just a hop coat. Same with the Annandale. And the fire truck will be parked down at the state DOT yard so they can get in and
out. That's easy.
So... we got the quotes for the basketball courts and tennis courts. We're going to start preparing for that. That's going to be, again, fill the cracks this year, I think, take out the basketball hoops and hit it hard in the springtime.
And you said we provided us some seed money this year in the bond ordinance that will allow them
get started. We've got a good quote. Year. Yeah.
And you said you got a good quote, so that's excellent.
So it's a matter of phasing it because it's all going to be the same surface. It'll be colored differently, of course, for tennis and basketball. But again, that's weather and timing. That's happening. Lieutenant Higgins is back with the police department, so our lieutenants are back to full strength. That's good. He's hit the ground running. And we've been meeting to get everybody caught up and, you know, make sure we're all on the same page going forward. JC Penal resolution is in here, as discussed, with the caveats we wanted in there. We've talked about with budgeting hiring another Class 2 officer, preferably hopefully in December. One of our candidates that we like, get him on board, he gets some training, we get to know him, he gets to know us. As budget allows for next year, we'd like to get two more officers, this one hopefully and another. And again, that's comes down to the budget, but we are moving forward on all those things. When the acres, after this tonight's bond ordinance, we have to wait our 20-day estoppel period, and then we'll get the bridge in. Bridge, believe it or not, it's been a moving target. The first, we're going to have a temporary bridge, fix the abutments, clean up the place, move the temporary bridge, and put in the bridge again permanently. Well, the state said, well, why don't you just build up the size and put the temporary bridge and keep it there, and don't worry about the abutment. Well, duh. So we're meeting tomorrow morning at 9:30 with the engineers to see if we can do that. Then the bridge will go in. We'll start cleaning up this month, mm-hmm. and by next year we'll have another park.
So we'll have a bridge that won't cost $250,000.
I don't know how much it's going to cost. It's not going to be cheap.
It's but not going to be as expensive.
That's what we're meeting tomorrow. But we'll be saving the money instead of moving it, taking it back, and putting it in back and forth. So that's good. And again, we've got plans for next year for a pavilion. We've got to get water out there. Electricity's got to. We'll have to put a well in, and then electricity can be re-energized. And I thought today some kind of bathroom facility like a Romtec. You know what a Romtec is? Like a permanent porta potty. I'll send you the information. It's basically, you put it in, and it's like a two-seater fancy outhouse, but you pump it a few times a year, and then it's not an outhouse. You don't have to worry about kids knocking it over, and you can lock it up. So we thought of that. We'll budget for that too. That way we'll have water, light, bathroom, pavilion, so we can start doing things out there. That's all good. That's next year though. Denise and I think have submitted everything we need to send to Green Acres to get our funding. I think the last batch went out today. Carl and I went to the county clerk last week. I went through the file. They went through the files for me and found all the documents that say these blocking lots are really changed to these blocking lots, so that confusion is over. And then I see our planners here, and, as soon as we get that open space inventory done, we'll get all kinds of money from the state. And then maybe you'll get paid. no offense, but, hey. So the tot lot for Anfield is done. That's in. If you go up there and look, that was done, I guess, last week. And we're looking for next year to put a couple more little kids mm-hmm. things. There's room up there for a couple more small things. So we'll work on that for next year. And I think we talked about, if you go up there, there's all those conexes and containers, and it's kind of ugly where the stuff, we're going to think about maybe getting that out of there and putting a pole barn there.
That's a good idea.
And then it's neat, it's clean, we can secure it. And again, that'll be next year's capital stuff. Historic sign for Hamden is in. Stoll Lake Public Works, the neighbors were very happy.
This is an unfair question, but we leased the place from the state. Do we have any idea how long that goes for?
Until they want it back.
Okay.
It's basically an open-ended.
All right.
That's why we can't really do anything permanently up there because, I've talked to them. They have no intention of doing anything with it. But, we can't do it.
Pole barn's not a lot of money. So.
No. I think they will be okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah. On parking. Garden fence goes in. I told you, right? That's going in. All right. Wine Country parking is almost done. Yeah. So that's it. That's all I got.
Okay. Lieutenant, you're up.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The only thing I was going to mention, as Mr. Landon mentioned, was that we had an officer out on leave. He's back. It's been a seamless reintegration. It's a real pleasant addition, or, re-addition. And it just worked out really well. He's happy to be back. We're happy to have him back, and all's well and ends well.
Good.
If anybody has any questions, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Yeah, I saw the report come over. I'll take a look at it.
All right.
More detail.
Looks like you got a lot of training done.
Yeah, so a lot of it's mandatory training. Yeah. Between the firearms, between the domestic violence, between the use of force, between the pursuit, between the de-escalation of I don't even know how to phrase it, but anyhow, dealing with all different kinds of people, that's mandatory training now. Every month we're going to a lot of it.
Okay. Mr. Behrens, you may have a report, but not for this section, mm-hmm. so we'll get to you in a minute. okay, we're up to resolutions, and I think you all have read that. It's declaring our support for JCP&L's Reliability Plus plan. However, as was pointed out at a previous meeting by Mr. Shaw, who's in the back there,
there ought to be some economies that come with these kinds of devices, so we don't support the rate increase.
So question, when that resolution goes forward, does that get lost in the overall translation? I mean, that's like 2-3 lines in this whole resolution. We don't support the $1.78 increase. Almost seems when that goes up higher into the legislature at all, that that's something that will be overlooked.
Well, I think this would end up with a rate council at BPU. And, you know, we can certainly, as we distribute it, have a little cover letter attached to it.
I think we'd want to do that and highlight that mainly because I could easily see how that will get lost in the shuffle of let's approve this good thing of trimming the trees and making that work.
Especially if all the other municipalities don't put that clause
that's
in
right.
there. You know, if we're one of 50, it will get lost no matter what.
We'll assume it's the same form
resolution.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Any other comments? Or?
No. I think the work needs doing.
I'll make the motion.
Second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Thank you. All right. So we are up to the introduction of an ordinance, and Trishka is going to correct me if I say this incorrectly because it's a kind of an oddball thing. This retains its original number, but it's declared to be amended.
Would you like me to?
Sure.
Because it is an oddball thing. It's a little confusing under the statute that applies to how you pass an ordinance. So obviously, as you know, an ordinance gets introduced on first reading, then it's then it's given a second reading, a public hearing. And what the statute says is that if you make any substantial amendments to the ordinance prior to adopting it, those amendments have to be reintroduced. So that's why it's still the same ordinance. It's still the same ordinance number. It's just that you started the public hearing. As part of that process, you decided to make a number of changes. They are definitely substantial in nature. Therefore, you need to reintroduce the ordinance with those amendments. So that's what you would be, when Carla calls the roll this evening, and what the motion would be to reintroduce it with the amendments. Mm-hmm. Alternatively, if you don't want the amendments, then you
hold a public hearing on those amendments.
Exactly. So I think the assumption is that the amendments will get introduced. So then once that happens, then notice is going to go back out to all the property owners, same as it did the first time, but it'll pretty clearly explain these are amendments. And then that'll be listed for public hearing and adoption on November 9th, is that 7th?
And 7th. Should we share the letter before it goes out just to make sure that it's really
share it with the council? Everything's ready to go out.
You mean the notice? So that I think that's a good idea.
The 200-foot letter, we might want to be
council,
more,
well,
at least at least yours truly.
Yeah, because you get all the calls.
Would we want to, I hate to suggest this, but would we, I don't know that we've done yet, post the amended ordinance on the website so that those interested have a chance to review it?
We'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know it's out here in public.
And the way it's currently set up is it is actually in track changes so that you can see what changed. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when it comes back up for adoption, it's going to have to be cleaned so that it goes to the codifier in the proper form. But what we're sending out will show the changes.
How many letters? You know, it's a big track, but they're...
It's not really big. It's only a page and a half of labels. That's it. I would say like 25, 30.
Would it make any sense to just clip the ordinance, the revised thing to the letter?
It is. Yeah, it has to.
The
ordinance goes with the letter.
No.
The
full ordinance must accompany it, and then in this case too, you know, with land use ordinances, if they're over a certain length, you're allowed to publish the notice of the introduction just by title and a summary. But with all of the affordable housing ordinances, given the nature and you know these are big changes, even the newspaper is going to have the entire ordinance. So the introduction is going to be published with the ordinance in full.
So at least everybody will. One of the troubles with the 200-foot notice is when, in a former life, when we were doing things, developing things, I would also get a 200, as the developer, I would get a 200-foot list, and I would send a personal letter out in
plain English language what was going on. Because people get like DEP notices for something that's very routine, and they really wonder, what in the world? You know, is there pollution or something? And so, okay, so it sounds like we're well covered on that. So.
But yeah, we'll send the notice to you to take a look at before it goes up.
All right. Okay, so we are introducing an amended ordinance, 1121-18, an ordinance of the Township of Clinton, further amending Chapter 165 of the Code of the Township of Clinton by creating the AH-8 Affordable Housing Zoning District to facilitate an inclusionary affordable housing development on the Headley Farm Estate, Block 46, Lots 33 and 33.01, and amending the Clinton Township zoning map and schedule of zoning requirements accordingly. So, are there any comments or concerns on the part of council?
I think that the changes are necessary to make important clarifications, mm-hmm. and I also think that a number of the changes address many, if not, well, I would imagine not all, but at least a number of the concerns that residents had raised at the public hearing we held a few meetings prior.
I would agree with that, and we've had two mediation sessions with the developers and representatives of the township, including our special attorney for affordable housing and the judge's special master. So, and we have a letter issued from the developer's attorney agreeing to these changes. So it's, I think, as Brian said, there many of them are responsive to comments we receive from the public, and others are additions that you know, some of us reviewers had suggested. Mr. Burns then implemented. So we typically don't take comments at this stage, but if you know, if you'd like to, if you've got anything to say about it, please. You've been very patient.
Paul Bogart, 16 Possum Hall Run. Just a quick question. I need to be educated here.
Sure.
You have in your documents the fact that they might put a well system in for water for their particular use. And I'm very concerned, obviously, mm-hmm. because I use that same groundwater for my house. At the recycling plant, there are two huge water tanks. What are they for?
Oh, those two tanks are associated with the Clinton Town water system. They're 3 million gallons each, and they actually put in, they needed to rebuild one a few years ago, so they had to put in a second one,
right?
You know, so they could take the first one out of service.
But that's for Clinton Town.
It's for Clinton Town, and those mains they feed Annandale Village. They also feed a good portion of Lebanon Borough. There's the main comes out of there, goes down to Route 22, makes a right, not a left, but a right, and heads off to Annandale Village. So they, at the end of the day, there is a main that goes up to the property. I don't recall the size of it. It runs underneath the railroad tracks and up what would be an emergency access road onto the property, just above the actual lot that old man Headley sold after he passed away.
So does it serve West Street, for example?
Yes, it serves the whole village, yeah. And the trouble is that their wells are currently, the Clinton Town wells are currently in a water deficit area, and they are not allowed. You'd hardly know it at this point. That and the idea that we send all that water down, you know, to the east, down the south branch of the Raritan River. I find ourselves in an odd situation. People think sewerage capacity is tight in this area. The tighter utility, I don't want to say scarce, that's a legal term, but the tighter utility is water. And there is not sufficient water capacity to service that development at this moment in time.
There is not.
There has been talk over the years of putting an additional well, another production well, into service. And I think at another council meeting I may have mentioned, there's actually a little square on the YMCA parcel on 22, a little square up towards Route 78 that is sort of
dotted in with future well sites. So there may be at some point in time consideration to adding another production well. Whether that would be sufficient for this site or not, I don't know. In addition, I'm told it takes a very long time for DEP to approve such a thing. So it's very early in this whole game, so it's not clear at this point whether there might be some additional capacity, you know, brought to bear, or whether they would, you know, have to do a well, because there is, you know, the system as it's currently constructed does not have sufficient capacity.
And if I'm not incorrect, I believe that if they choose to try to supply the water with an on-site well, they will need during the planning board process to demonstrate that they can do so and not impact neighboring property.
For something of this magnitude, it's called an aquifer test. It's not just a 20-minute, you know, pump
hey,
the neighbor's
water.
Well down and see what happens. It's quite an extensive test, and it's quite expensive, and there would be a number of sampling wells that would be installed on their property. I would imagine they would also reach out and contact a good number of the neighbors, you know, depending upon the distance from the actual wellhead.
Right.
And it is an extensive undertaking.
Okay.
We do have a...
I appreciate the explanation, because I look out my kitchen window at these tanks, I've often wondered where the water goes.
Well, you know, it's actually one of the loose ends, one of the things yet to be defined. The way fire protection works, when Clinton Town provides fire protection water to a structure, for instance, that doesn't count as an allocation because it's used so infrequently. So given the fact that there's an existing main up there, there may be the possibility that that line would be activated or potentially used for fire control purposes, because it doesn't actually draw on the capacity of the overall system. So who knows? Maybe somehow they'll opt for working with the town to acquire to generate more capacity, but that's probably the kind of thing they're going to have to figure out over the next year.
But none of this water comes out of Round Valley, does it?
No.
No.
Round Valley has a very large tank that Merck built. I want to say it's 7 million gallons, and American Water owns that. And that distribution system ends at the Merck driveway on Route 22. There's a 21-inch main under the dirt there.
Basically, they, in high water periods, pump water out of the river into the
river.
Yeah, and then in low water periods, they pump it back out from the reservoir to the river, and it gets used downstream.
It's kind of a swing reservoir, but I don't know the details, but it's my belief that there's not the capacity constraints in that system, but all the water that's distributed by Clinton Town is well water. All the water that's distributed by American Water in Reddington is surface water. And chemically, they're very different. You really wouldn't want to run a boiler powerhouse on surface water. You can avoid it, for instance.
Okay. Let me ask one last question. The legal procedure that we're going through for this operation of changing the zoning, when will the final vote take place on that?
That is coming November 7th.
November 7th.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that'll be the public hearing. It'll be a proceeding just like we're going to have for the other ordinances, several other ordinances, after we finish this discussion.
Okay, and did I understand more letters will be sent out?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Does that water main go right down 22?
It comes out. I want to say it jogs right. I'm trying to remember the map in that part of the world.
Do they check if there's ever leaks or anything?
Leaks all the time.
There's really a bad one on 22. I told you.
Yeah?
Yeah. They have leaks pop up regularly.
That, like now.
Yeah. Because
before it blows.
You really, yeah.
It's called.
Do you know where I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Right before Cokesbury.
Right before Cokesbury. Right before that, what's in front of that vacant bank, it used to be PNC Bank.
Really?
It's just the road is just, 22 is just. I called him. You took
your call. I sent it over to Clinton. Yeah.
I mean, Rich Fallon or Bob Smith are the water people.
You might want to go over there at lunch break or something tomorrow.
Yeah, 22 right by that little bank.
Right, the vacated bank.
Son of a gun. All right.
If you go home, you go home a different way.
No, I can go home that way. One day I called in one on Cokesbury Road running up toward the warehouse.
You literally need to go in the fast lane now.
Oh, gee whiz.
So.
That's not good.
Since we were talking about it.
You called?
I already did.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked about it.
To get back to the issue at hand, I'll make a motion to introduce the amended ordinance.
I'll second that.
Councilwoman Switlik?
Yes.
Councilman Kosmanowski?
Yes.
Councilman Malay?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Thank you all very much. Okay, now we're up to adoption of ordinances and public hearings. The first ordinance up is 1123-18, an ordinance amending subsection 198-4M, vehicle parking in Chapter 198, parks, recreation areas, and open space of the Code of the Township of Clinton to address the use of parking areas, including trailhead parking areas. As I understand this ordinance, it is designed to encourage the proper use of a small parking lot that is almost fully constructed, probably several parking lots, but the one on near the high school in particular, so that we limit the number of hours one can park there so we don't have enterprising students using it instead of folks that would like to use our park-like facilities. So any comments from council?
It only applies to that parking lot?
No, this applies. It applies to all your parking areas,
right.
But the way it's worded, because you may be building more of these in the future, so it's intentionally worded a little bit open-ended, but it gives you the ability through signage. So, for instance, there may be some parking areas where you don't care who's using it, but there are definitely going to be parking areas where you can anticipate people other than those using the trails are going to try to park there. So it enables you to put signs up that say, you know, only while using the trails.
So the backside of Windy Acres where there's no signage and it's not really a parking lot, this wouldn't apply to that. But if people started to take advantage of that, we could put a sign up.
Well, there's also a separate, if there's no real parking lot, they shouldn't be parking there at all. So
I know, but
there's other provisions
like one
on
when
there.
You drive past. You know, I've seen cars there, hikers and things like that.
Yeah, but that's not your property.
Yeah, it is.
No. Back there it is not.
Right by the railroad crossing, Old Mountain?
Not our property.
On the Windy Acres side of the railroad?
That's Harold Wilbur's property.
Oh, okay.
And it's private.
And the whole stretch down into Windy Acres. Now, mind you, Mr. Wilbur's been...
Oh, and that whole stretch in?
Oh, yeah.
With the railroad on your left?
Yes, correct.
That's why when a certain former mayor was suggesting everybody should just park there and walk in. We tried to discourage it because it was technically trespassing.
Yeah, that former mayor is often the case, doesn't really know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But all that aside, yeah.
Like me, right now.
Well,
you asked.
You're new.
I know, I asked, yeah. I know now.
But Mr. Wilbur's offered to allow us the use of that, perhaps even donate the property to us. So it's one of those conversations we just haven't had time to really have.
But we may not really need once we get
the bridge
further down the road with it.
Yeah. So we'll see. No, he's been very kind about that, and there are several easements on that. Actually, Brian was talking about pumping water up to Round Valley Reservoir. There's a very large pipe underneath that stretch. So we would have
blue pipes that pop out.
We'd have to get permission from the electric company,
the gas company,
and the water company to actually use that. So that's one of the reasons why we haven't really gotten it yet. It would be a substantial amount of legal work. Okay. So let's open the public hearing. And are there any members of the public that have any questions about this particular ordinance? Please.
I'm Sadie Bogart. I just have a question about ordinance number 112118.
We're on 2318.
Oh, you
so
are?
Pardon me.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll take your question in a few minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll get to it. There will be a public comment period at the end.
Yeah. Okay.
You'll be first in line.
Okay. So there's no other questions. So can I have a motion to close the public hearing on this one?
I'll make them.
All those in favor? All those in favor?
All right.
Opposed or abstained?
No, no, no. You got to do
roll call. You got to do a roll call?
Dan is one and Tom is two.
Darn. There was a debate.
Oh, my God. Okay. Councilwoman Switlik?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilman Millay?
Yes.
Council President McKiernan?
Yes.
Mayor Hicks?
Yes. Thank you. Okay. The next ordinance up for adoption is 1124-18, an ordinance of the Township of Clinton in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, accepting the rededication of a previously vacated portion of Center Street in accordance with Ordinance Number 1070-15 and pursuant to NJSA 40A:12-1 et sec. And this is basically getting a little piece of land on Center Street near the new Chase Bank back into the public domain, because when the former building was there, it protruded into the public right away, and it didn't seem like we would want to demolish the corner of a building just to get everything straight. So a minor change, but a good one. So are there any members of the public, rather, any members of council that have any questions or concerns?
No.
I'll make a motion.
So we'll open the public hearing. This is a ritual, you know. Before this term is up, I'll get it right.
Before tonight's up, you got two more tries.
Okay. So are there any members? Let's open the public hearing. And are there any members of the public that have a question about this particular ordinance? Hearing and seeing no motion or questions, may I have a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll make a motion to close it.
Second.
Roll call.
I'll make a motion to adopt it.
Second.
Don't
close and adopt.
Do I do both, or
you don't need a roll call on closing the public hearing?
Yeah.
It's not adopting the ordinance.
Well, gee whiz, a couple of meetings ago.
I know.
I think you're going to have to run again to see if you can get it right the third time.
Okay. Can I? I'll close the public hearing, and then can we have a motion to adopt the ordinance?
I'll make a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Okay. Councilwoman Switzer.
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski.
Yes.
Councilman Millay.
Yes.
Council President McTiernan.
Yes.
Mayor Higgins.
Yes. When I wrote it down this time, I thought I had
it right. Too thorough. Do you have to put money in a jar or anything now?
Yeah, that would have been a good idea.
Oh, Lord. The next ordinance up is 1125-18, a bond ordinance providing for the demolition and removal of certain structures and on and the clearing of the Windy Acres site, lying in the Township of Clinton in the County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey, appropriating $500,000, therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $476,000 in bonds or notes of the Township to finance part of the cost thereof. And we sort of touched on this a little bit before, but we have some existing structures on the Windy Acres track that need to be demolished and removed. They're what I would consider attractive nuisances. There's a swimming pool up there that is quite an attractive nuisance.
And that's going to be a tough removal. That swimming, it's steel.
They punch holes in it, fill it in.
Yeah.
It's full of dead things.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
It's in the ground?
Yeah.
Sort of.
Fill it in?
It's a mess. It's a mess.
It'll be flat when we're done.
And there's a lot of debris that has to be removed as well. Somebody's boat.
All kinds of good stuff up there. You don't want to go in the barn.
No.
I'm surprised there's not a plethora of water heaters out there. That's a favorite thing to dump on public property.
There's a motorboat out in the middle of the field.
Yeah, it's a boat.
Part of this is also the back and forth with the bridge and the repair of the bridge abutments, if you choose to do so.
We're meeting tomorrow morning. We'll hopefully have that ironed out.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'd be interested in the cost estimate.
Yeah.
We can have it too.
Yeah. All right.
That's what we're meeting.
So let's open the public hearing. Are there any members of the public
Bill.
Bill Glaser, 35 Pinder Circle.
Which parts of Windy Acres does this apply to, the affordable housing piece or the open space piece?
Open space.
So why does this not come out of open space money? Why is it a separate ordinance?
It may well.
It could. Okay.
Some of it. There's not enough in there to cover all this.
Right. Well, that's sort of the question.
Correct. Yeah.
So with that, my second question is maybe not to be answered tonight, just maybe the next meeting. How much will the township's gross and net investment be in this open space by the time we're done? Because obviously we spent money to buy it. We've improved it over
million.
Years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm thinking it's becoming somewhat significant.
Oh, $7 million was very significant to
Right. But then since then, there's been money spent along the way, like moving bridges and.
Well, there was not so much. There was
not a lot,
and I believe there was.
Oh, maybe that's
money,
the problem.
There was some money set aside during the purchase, if I recall correctly, from Pulte, where there were remedial issues that they paid for.
Oh, that came out of the beginning. I just think it's a matter of public record. It'd be interesting to have that accounting to understand how much the township has invested in the property, because, as we know, there's a lot of misinformation about that.
Yeah,
track
well over $7 million.
Oh, well, now it's maybe $7.5 million.
Quite a bit of that not out of open space either.
Right.
Yeah. And so the point.
And that's the point, I would say, too. That it's not like the township hasn't invested its own money versus the trust.
So now we want to invest a little more so we can use it.
Oh, I understand the point. And so what happens if the bridge is less than attributed? You borrow less, so this the ordinance, you don't use the full 500?
Could.
Okay, so
it
depends
on.
Yeah, we cancel it eventually.
Okay, good. Okay.
Save it if you had it. You could save and amend it to put in the ROMTEC or the electricity or something, more development,
Yeah.
It depends how they wrote the ordinance. I think it was just improvements in general. So.
Yeah, and then again, maybe recover some trust fund if there's money there eventually.
And the only real substantial amount.
Those improvements that could come out of the ordinance.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only substantial amount I'm aware of above the $7 million purchase price was about $250,000, $270,000 for ELM to perform an environmental cleanup.
Right.
Some of the farmers.
Well, I just think it'd be helpful for the hearing to have that so we know the accounting.
That was a grant.
Oh, that was a Green Acres.
The $250,000 was a grant.
But that's a net conversation versus
gross.
Yeah,
that was a grant, congressional.
Because, again, the township had to put out the money for the gross amount, so gross and net are both important in that conversation.
Well, that was a general grant. I'm glad we collected it at sort of the last minute. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
In the bridge.
Okay. Well, in that case, let's close the public hearing. And could I have a motion to adopt the ordinance?
I'll make the motion.
Will we motion first to close it?
Amy,
And Tom. Okay, you're good. Okay, Councilwoman Swill.
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynowski.
Yes.
Councilman Malay.
Yes.
Councilman McTiernan.
Yes.
Mayor Higgins.
Yes. Okay. All right. Our next ordinance is 1126-18, a bond ordinance providing the purchase of sewer capacity for planned and future projects by and in the Township of Clinton and the County of Hunter and State of New Jersey, appropriating $525,000, therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $500,000 in bonds or notes of the township to finance part of the cost thereof. This is to acquire from the Benbrooks sufficient sewerage to complete all of the sewer capacity that is required for the 100% affordable projects sponsored by the township. We had previously acquired all of the quote-unquote free capacity available in the system, and this sort of tops things out. Our QS is up to what we need to make all of the 100% projects viable. So any comments, questions from council?
Nope. The more 100% affordable we do, the better.
This is true. Anyway, it's true.
Yes.
We'll open the public hearing on this. Any questions from the public? Okay, then can I have a motion? Please. All right, come on up.
Is this reference, like I was before the sewage commission a couple nights ago, is this referencing like the pumping station on Possum Hollow and County Road 641?
No, this is simply acquiring years and years ago, in an action which will live in the annals of infamy, the township allowed a private entity, the attorneys that were working for Beaverbrook, to acquire sewer capacity. At that time, the developers of the Beaverbrook were going belly up.
Yeah.
So rather than trying to collect their fees for legal representation, the township signed on a deal to sell this public good, or allow the public good to be used to satisfy legal bills, basically, on the part of the Benbrooks. So we are now purchasing that a portion of that capacity back, so that we just have the gallonage. There is this does not relate to the Headley Farm project at all. This is for
nor the pumping station.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, I mentioned the pumping station. They preceded that area, put salt hay over it, and some truck backed right into it. And it's got ruts about
I heard about the ruts at the sewer authority meeting.
Yeah, and what my suggestion was on that particular project, this is not material to what you're talking about, but my comment was if we could plant some kind of shrubbery to outline so people, when they're backing up or whatever, the garbage trucks have to back up because they can't go through the underpass.
Okay. Oh.
And so they come in and they go into Williams Way and then they back up and then they pull forward. Actually, they back up so that they can get the homes right by the railroad track. Mm-hmm. Then they come forward. But somebody backed up. My idea was if we could beautify it a little bit, I'd be willing to put it on my dime if we could put some shrubbery up to outline that area. And like I said, you don't want to put anything up that draws the deer because you're right on the road. But if you could outline that so that, you know, it would look better, and it would protect the area better.
I'm the liaison for the sewer authority, so maybe we can chat after the,
The
meeting.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So could I have a motion to close the public hearing?
Well, we want to ask and see if anybody else wants to.
Oh, well, in that case.
But no.
No, we're still on this one.
Yeah.
All right.
You don't need a motion to close.
No. No, you don't need a motion.
I'll make a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Fair enough.
Someone has to
second. I seconded.
Right. Amy seconded.
Tom made the motion.
Tom made the motion to adopt.
Oh my God.
Amy seconded it.
Okay, Councilwoman Switla.
Yes.
Councilman Kuchinowski.
Yes.
Councilman Malloy.
Yes.
Council President McTiernan.
Yes.
Mayor Higgins.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Last chance.
Okay. This one I'll get right. We're up to the bills. We have to pay the bills.
No, you skip.
No,
now it's my turn in the hopper.
Vouchers.
Vouchers, it might be. Oh, Lord. So
I'll move to pay the bills.
Thank you.
Seconded.
Dan has seconded it, and can we have a roll call?
Councilwoman Switlick.
Yes.
Councilman Kuchinowski.
Yes.
Councilman Malloy.
Yes.
Council President McTiernan.
Yes.
Mayor Higgins.
Yes.
Now it's your turn.
Now we can talk, public comment, so we can talk about that other ordinance.
You're up,
ma'am.
I feel like I'm in China and everybody's speaking Chinese.
You know, I've been feeling that way tonight too, so don't feel bad.
The Headley Farm 112118,
mm-hmm.
How many letters did you say were going out to the public?
Maybe 30. I didn't count them all. The 200-foot letter, yes.
I just think, the public, the town of Annandale, the people in Petticoat Lane, more people should be aware of this, and letters should be sent out to all these people, because it's going to impact their life.
Well, I would say there's no vehicle access from that site into the village, first. But second, you have to kind of think of it this way, I believe. If we send out more than the legally required letters for this project, then the next project that comes along and we don't, it sets a precedent that we would all regret.
Yeah.
So plus, where do you draw the line?
Right.
So we don't have to have a number like 200.
Yeah.
I think this is extremely important for this community. And I really think people, you know, they should be aware and they should be allowed to speak about it. And they can't speak if they aren't informed.
Well, it's in the papers. There's going to be 25 neighbors.
Put it on the webpage.
We put it on the webpage.
Yep.
We do email so blasts.
We can do a blast.
Yeah, we do it.
We really try to.
It's been in each agenda we've put out, which is posted online and emailed to whoever is interested and signs up.
Does it go to the people that live in Annandale? I mean,
it goes to everyone who signs up for that service.
If they're within 200 foot of a property boundary.
Well, that's for the letter, but the folks who sign up, the email notification of the agenda and these sorts of things is on a sign-up basis. So you have to sign up. And I'm sure there are folks whom I know who live in Annandale who sign up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else?
Okay. Public comment?
Yeah, absolutely. Come on down.
Whatever's on your mind.
Anything
more or less.
Our township, Andy.
Hi there. Hi, Mayor.
Higgins. How are you doing?
Andy West, 20 Cedar Grove Road in Annandale. Last year, you had on your website, you had a listing of roads that were going to be paved. It's disappeared. And I know that Mr. Landon was going to send out a new updated version of the five-year plan. Haven't seen it. They said it was going to be up in August on the website, and I haven't seen it yet.
We're not doing a five-year plan anymore.
Right.
Period.
But what?
We don't do a five-year plan anymore.
I was told there was going to be a five-year plan. So.
Well, there isn't. There is not. Jay and I will go out over the winter and come up with next year's capital plan to come to this group for approval,
right.
And that's how it works. If you have a particular road, you can send it to me and we'll look at it.
I have sent it to you, and I was told that you would come out and look at my problem and Cedar Grove Road.
Okay.
It's a quilt work, maybe we did. Potholes and
perhaps we did.
Fixes. You also said that it was going to be scheduled an overlay in 2019.
That could be. I don't have that in front of me, but it could be.
That's one of the reasons why
we don't do the list.
Priorities change. You know, winters can be severe and they can affect the priorities simply because of additional wear and tear in a road. And to be honest, the list got to be more of a problem than a problem solution. People felt that, you know, it was inviolate and you can't go out 3, 4, 5 years and expect changes.
Things change.
So what we have now is a different system where come the spring, our DPW supervisor and Jess will go out and survey.
If you send it in, it's still on the list, then we'll take a look.
All right, I'll send it again.
You can do that too. But we have it running, like I said, every year, and then it comes down to money. How much do we have and time?
And so, how also, much they've changed,
which
has become worse.
Yes.
There's also a lot of roads got paved that I think really didn't need to be paved. Like behind me is Windy Hill Road, and there really wasn't a problem down there, but it was repaved. And Cedar Grove wasn't touched at all, which is right coming out the same road. So I didn't understand how things are picked for
need and cost and time.
And cost.
Well, and we also should factor in the traffic burden.
Right.
You know, it's that's been the traditional waiting is that the overall condition of the road, as Jess said, what it costs and
the volume
of traffic over it, and then, you know, how much we can afford.
Right.
So you just lay it all up and try to do the best you can. Everybody, I think, has a road that comes to mind. I've got a couple that I keep my mouth shut because it's not reasonable for the mayor to be doing that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, when people do write in, not hopefully, when people do write in, I know they take a good look at things.
And I think we'll be getting to where we announce which roads we're going to do next year a little sooner than we did this year, if I'm not mistaken.
When we introduce the capital budget.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Hopefully we'll do it. That's my point, is hopefully we do that a little
We're looking for winter time to introduce it so we can start earlier.
Right.
Yeah, I think this year.
Past year we did it in June, I think.
No, the goal here is the Stanton Mountain Road to get that crack in March, and then this is the same thing. The capital ordinance has to be, we can do that before we do the budget, actually.
Yeah.
So that was the goal. But you know, if we can start paving, and depends on the road.
We don't want
to do it with school.
No.
The school is going, we don't want to do it. We want to wait for July, so.
Yeah. But we ought to get the budget earlier this year and, you know, the capital budget, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Anyone else?
Huh. Well, I'm going to play up that topic, Bill Glaser, 35 Piners. It comes up probably every fifth meeting, it seems, the whole paving thing. Again, I'd encourage council and administration to publish the process on the website, put the criteria down that's used, because so many people have the question that, you know, it seems like a mystery that can be explained, because every time you explain it, you explain it. So it could be written down. And then it'd be more clear, and then people would understand there is a process that it is as equitable as possible. Because right now, I think it just opens everyone up for criticism.
And this is maybe some dates once we get the process further along, when we're going to make certain decisions. And
every year the timeline changes. But yeah, it would be. I just think it would help everyone, because right now it's a bit of a black box, and it shouldn't be.
Now, Mr. Lannan is...
Are you talking about that, like do a manhole, how difficult it is, and the steps and everything like that?
Right? And the sewers. And
yeah.
That's why he said it comes up every meeting.
Was that five meetings ago?
Mr. Lannan is doing... He's like a one-armed juggler or something these days. So let me write up a paragraph, and then you can critique it, and we'll get it up.
You're not going to write it.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'll make a stab at it, and we'll put something up on our website then. That's a good idea. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks.
Anyone else? All right. It is about 8:12, and it's time for that last motion of the night.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Thank you.